Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned.
The preview you are about to watch is for a movie that is unlike any you have ever seen before. It is for a movie that goes beyond temporary fear to everlasting terror. It is a movie called Demons. Yes, the demons are coming, and they're coming for you. Warning. If you have the courage to see demons, sit near an exit. Otherwise, you might never get out. In your theater, who will survive the touch of the demons, and who will not? Demons. With music by Billy Idol, Motley Crue, The Adventures, Rick Springfield, and Saxon. This is no dream. This is happening right now. It could be happening to you. Demons. They will make cemeteries their cathedrals, and the cities will be your tombs. Will you survive it? Demons.
Hello and welcome back to another stupendously Nostradamus and Motley Crue rocking episode of Guess What You're Wrong. Now today I have Christine back. Christine, how you doing? First of all,
doing great. How are you?
You look like you just got off the toilet or something. You all right?
I'm fine. Jesus.
So what are you drinking over there tonight?
I don't know.
Water.
Nothing.
Nothing. I'm drinking water. So we got Christine back here. We're actually going to be diving headfirst into this movie from 1985, movie that I probably saw when I was about 11 or 12 years old. I think it probably ruined portions of my brain at that young age. I don't know. But the movie I'm talking about is Demons from 1985. Oh, boy. What a movie. Directed by Lamberto Bava. Written by none other, amongst others, I should say, is Dario Argento. You know who Dario Argento is?
He sounds very familiar.
Oh, he should be very familiar. Very familiar. He made the movie Suspiria. Spectacular movie that I love as well. Amongst other stuff. I mean, he's Two Evil Eyes, The Church. I mean, Dario Argento is, in my eyes, spectacularious, baby.
Okay.
Now, Lamberto Bava, he has some stuff in here as well. I mean, he's known for Demons, Demons 2, Body Puzzle, Tenebrae, amongst other stuff. So, you know, neither of these guys are new, I'll say, to a movie scene. Of course, they're Italians. Italians are really famous for the giallo horror, which is a whole nother thing. Maybe we'll get into it another time. It's a whole nother genre of horror movies.
Okay.
But this movie here, you know, it I mean, we can go through some of this cast here, but, you know, chances are that anybody that's listening probably really doesn't know who the hell these people are, because they're all, none of them are American actors. Hold on.
They're not American actors?
No, I've been drinking too much. Hold on a sec. I meant talking too much. You know what I mean?
Whew. Yeah.
Oh, boy, what? That's spicy. 98 proof. Okay.
Ooh.
So we have George and Cheryl. Well, I guess you could call them the survivors at the end of the movie. Not really. George is played by Urbano Berberini. Mm-hmm. Cheryl played by Natasha Hovey. Now, there's two girls here. Paola Cozzo, who played Kathy, and Natasha Hovey, who played Cheryl. I think they were the better looking of all the women in the movie. Myself. I personally think that. What do you think?
Which one would I like?
Which one would you sit?
Are you serious?
Oh my gosh, you're off to a great start over there. What the heck are you talking about, Christine? Okay. And we can't forget Rosemary, who is played by Jaretta Giancarlo. Yeah. They got her listed. Her name is Jaretta.
Okay.
But that's
kind of weird.
Foreigners' names, I'm telling you. So, had you ever heard about this movie before?
Actually, no.
No. I remember when I first watched this with my cousin John. Like so many of the movies that I watched too young, we watched it in his basement at his house.
All right.
So it was dark, damp, dreary, spooky, scary anyway. And then we watched this movie. Wow. Now, watching it now, I mean, it definitely is aged, you know. I mean, you can tell it's an 80s movie. But some of the stuff that they have in this, like Rosemary, when, you know, she gets scratched on her cheek with that mask.
Yeah.
And once it starts, I guess the infection starts taking place, it's pretty graphic. You know, I mean, that big old bubbling bubble pus and then.
Oh, that was nasty.
And it was a lot of nasty. I mean, you're like, ooh, stuff that would just happen. You're looking at it like, what the? Oh, my gosh. But this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. Nasty. Now, there's a small buildup in the movie, you know, at the beginning. It's not. What's the runtime on this? I don't remember what the runtime is. It's about an hour and a half long. Okay, we could take out probably about 8 minutes of that for. Maybe five or six, 7 minutes for that of credits at the end. So we're looking at about an hour and 20 minutes long movie. So it's not bad. You know, it doesn't drag either, in my opinion. You know, there's a building part at the beginning where they're showing our characters or getting us, you know, they're introducing the characters of, you know, George and Ken and Cheryl and Kathy. And then we have, of course, Hannah and Frank, you know, all these Tony and the hookers, or I guess, I don't know if they're hookers or girlfriends or whatever they are with him.
Yeah.
But there's a small buildup at the beginning where we're going to be introduced to all these characters. But once it starts rolling, the payoff is pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, once stuff starts happening, it's like, you know, one after another, it's just going. And I think that's an Italian thing, or, you know, whatever it was. Because it just, once that blister on that Rosemary's face bursts open, everything's creepy after that point. Everything's, you know, you're like, oh, what's going on? And, you know, she busts out of the bathroom. Her one friend, I can't remember her name, goes to try and find her, and it doesn't end up good for her. I mean, we got the blind guy and Liz.
His daughter.
Yeah, Liz, played by Sally Day. You know, and that's just a whole, these people that they have in this movie, it's just, okay, well, we have this guy with this half metal face at the beginning of the movie, passing out these golden tickets. Now, it's a
and
golden
ticket. And the girl is, like, running from him.
Yeah, at first. She should have kept running.
Yep.
You know, so he's handing out these golden tickets to some, you know, it's a special show at this place called the Metropole. So there's a whole bunch of different types of people that end up congregating in this theater.
Yeah. You
know, like we said, we have the two guys, Ken and George, are kind of like the, you know, the uppity, preppy kind of guys.
Mm-hmm.
We have Cheryl and Kathy, played by Natasha Hovey and Paola Cozzo, that kind of like the BFFs, you know, that just happen to show up.
Yeah.
And they end up hooking up with George and Ken later on. You know, then we got the one guy, Tony, who's played by Bobby Rhodes with Rosemary. And I still can't remember the other girl's name, you know, but he looks kind of like a pimp or something. You know, he's like a pimp, and, you know, and he's got the two girls with them. You know, we got the blind guy and his daughter, Liz, show up. There's just the whole, you know, some younger guy and his girlfriend are there, some woman and her husband. So it's just a big amalgam of different types of people that are brought into this theater. And it makes for some good action, really, you know. Because it's right off the bat here where Rosemary goes to, they have this, I don't know, motorcycle with a samurai guy on it. He's holding this demon mask, and she decides to put it on, and then she's like, oh, look at me, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Cuts her face. Well, that's the first thing that we know that, well, some shit's probably going to happen with that.
Yeah.
You know?
I wasn't expecting to happen, though. That.
The big bubble pus thing coming out.
It was like Dr. Pimple Popper Extreme.
I bet it was. That was nasty.
Gross.
Because it doesn't really affect her, I think. I think she stops the bleeding and stuff like that. But then, you know, they're in this theater to watch a movie. So then we end up seeing like a movie inside of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of weird because the movie that they're watching is a movie about the mask in demons and Nostradamus predicted this, I don't know, plague of demons, I guess. And it's just weird because...
Weird how they brought Nostradamus into it.
Yeah, I know. It's
out there. It's a little out there.
Well, you know what we should have. I should have looked up to see if Nostradamus had actually made any predictions like that. I don't know. But one thing that I got to mention is the damn soundtrack for this thing. Classic 80s rock metal. I mean, this is.
Love the soundtrack.
Billy Idol, awesome. Motley Crue, except. You know, Saxon, the soundtrack in this thing was, they must have spent a pretty good penny on the soundtrack just getting the rights for some of these songs, you know, but it's very distinctive, you know, when they open that opening scene, when they're playing that Motley Crue song, it's just, you know.
Yep. That's Vince Neil.
Yeah, that's Motley Crue. You know that. It's like, geez. But yeah, once, you know, this movie that they're watching on the screen, you know, and you have Liz, who is the daughter of the blind guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's kind of ironic. It's kind of a, I don't know, they got a blind guy at a movie theater. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's.
And he's got his daughter sitting there. What's going on? And she's got to tell him what's happening in the movie.
Yep. Come on. Some weird dude sat next to her, and I said he was weird, and you're like, well, maybe he's wanted.
Yeah, maybe she invited him, yeah. But, yeah, they start, and this is one thing. Her dad is blind. Obviously, he can hear, you know, because they say when you go blind, your hearing gets better. Your sense of smell gets better, and that kind of stuff. So his daughter is sitting right next to him, leaning over, making out with some guy. And, you know, and they're basically, I mean, he's got his hands up in places and all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
You think her dad can hear that?
You would think.
I mean, he's blind, but he's not deaf.
You know? Yeah.
But, you know, they end up sneaking away and I don't know, behind the curtains and are going to take care of some business. But once stuff on that, so odd because. We're watching a movie, but people in the movie are watching a movie. So the movie they're watching in the movie, once stuff starts rolling there, you know, the one guy scratches his cheek and shit just goes downhill. And in the movie that they're watching, And as soon as that happens, Rosemary's cut on her face starts bleeding again. Mm-hmm. And that's when she goes off to the bathroom. What the fuck? There's so much that happens here. And in such a little amount of time. You know, we have Rosemary's face gets, you know, we've mentioned it several times. She gets this pussy pimple gusher.
Disgusting. Yuck.
Yeah. Gusher thing coming out, and it's nasty. And then it just all goes downhill. I mean, you got people getting turned into demons. You got people trying to survive. So it's a survival horror movie, you know, because you have all these demons coming to attack. Now, the building used for the exteriors of the Metropole Theater, it still stands. It's in Berlin. It's in Germany.
It is in Germany.
It's called Goya. That's been there. It's been a host of several horror conventions thanks to the appearance in this film. So,
oh wow,
they're still using the same building and everything there. So, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And in Germany, this movie, Demons from 1985, was actually released as a sequel to the second film, Demons 2, which in Germany was actually released as Demons 1. So they kind of crisscrossed them, you know. Demons 1 became Demons 2 in Germany, and I don't know. Damn Germans.
Germans.
I'm telling you. There's not really a whole bunch of trivia on this either in the IMDb.
No.
Yeah, there's not really much at all. But, you know, once they start, I don't remember, who's the second? It's that one, oh, it's the girl that goes to look for her that's with that Tony, because there was two girls who were with Tony.
Yeah.
One of them was Rosemary. Her face just pimple explode. The other girl went to look for her, and she got scratched on her neck.
Yeah, oh, that was nasty, too. And
she's wandering around. You know,
it's a nasty way to die.
She's wandering around. I don't know how this happens, but she gets lost. Somehow makes it behind the screen. So what she sees is the movie in reverse, because the crowd is on the other side of the screen watching the movie. I'm telling you, the artistic visualizations of this movie, I think, are awesome. Especially that scene like that with her, you know, she's screaming, but the movie that they're watching on the screen, somebody is screaming. She's pushing through, she's trying to push through the movie screen.
Yeah.
But you can't really tell because you're in a movie theater watching this and stuff's happening. You can't tell that somebody's pushing through. But it's Kathy, I believe, was just like, wait, did you hear that? Somebody's screaming. They're like, no, it's just a damn movie.
Yeah. You know,
then she breaks through. She breaks through the screen, and everybody's like, oh, everybody screams.
Yeah.
Everybody runs down there to help her. It doesn't turn out too good for her.
No.
I don't know. I don't remember her name. If that was Ruth. I don't remember what her name was, that girl, but needless to say, she gets demonized. Big, long tongue coming out of her mouth.
Yeah.
It's the imagery from this. It's. I gotta take a drink. Whew. What? Okay.
You good?
Give me a little bit of shiver down my spine with that one. Jeepers creep. But
Jeepers creepers.
Where'd you get those papers? That's what Jeepers I'm saying.
Creepers.
So this is not American Idol. Okay, we're sitting here talking about deep. Why are you singing to me?
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. So needless to say, we have a big group of our survivors goes up to the balcony. Stop laughing at me. I'll give you a slapowitz.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
But I'm not laughing. You're hurting my sensitive. I'm sensitive, Christine.
Yeah.
You're hurting my feelings. So we have a bunch of our survivors head up to the balcony. They're trying. We missed the part. We missed the part with Liz and her boyfriend. We're off in behind this curtains making out. Rosemary comes up, but instead of like tearing them apart or something like that, she grabs one of those ropes. Now, when you think of this movie theater, you need to think of like classically old style movie theaters, because everything is, you know, velvet curtains. You know, the screen is beautiful. The whole theater is just classically beautiful. It's like old school theater. So these ropes that they have, the one that Rosemary uses to kill these two, Liz and her boyfriend, it's one of those big velvet ropes like that they would have, you know, going across the aisles and stuff. She just ties them around their heads and just pulls them, and they're blood splurting out of their mouth, and they're like, ah. Yeah.
But she puked all over, like blood all over somebody. Yeah,
blood all over each other. They're tied face to face, so their blood's coming out, and they're all going all over each other, and like, that's fucking nasty. As our group has left, the one girl that busted through the screen and started running toward the back of the theater, a body drops, and it's the guy. He's tied to that velvet rope, and he's like hanging there. The shit that happens in this movie in the remaining time, there's so much, you know. It's basically a fight for survival. Our people go upstairs, try and board themselves in on the balcony. They start banging on the wall. They say, hey, if we bang on the wall, because that's another thing I forgot to mention, that when this demon thing took over, all the doors disappeared. And there's
that was weird.
There's just cinder block walls. Dude, I'm freaking the fuck out, I'm telling you. If I'm in a theater, if I'm in anywhere, and I go to open a door where the door was at, and there's a cinder block wall.
Too. Yeah. Forget about that. Is a definite freak out.
Yeah. Stop drinking so much, Christine. Anyway.
Yeah.
So they figure, let's bang on the walls. Somebody outside's got to hear us, right? They got it. And this is when we're introduced to our next group of people. Giuseppe Morano Cruciano plays Hot Dog. He's one of the guys. We have Bettina Campolini, who plays Nina. And these are some Italian-ass names.
Yeah.
Guido Baldi, who plays Tommy. Who was this other guy? Who was the driver? Was that? I wonder if that was him, Guido. What a fucking name. Guido. Guido Baldi.
Guido.
You know, he's an Italian guy. You got these, it's basically a group of hoodlums. They sold this car. They're out joyriding. They're snorting cocaine out of a Coke.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Out of an actual Coke can.
Out of a Coca-Cola can with a straw. They got a straw and they're just like hitting it up. This is some stuff here. You know, they have a mess with the cocaine. It flies everywhere. The head guy, I can't remember what his name is, but he tells
them to pick it all up.
Every gram. It's a powder, dude. I mean, so we have this. I got to say, this is probably the most boring scene of the movie here when they're scraping up coke off of the seats and everywhere. You know, then we have the scene with Hot Dog and Nina with the whole razor blade on the boob and nipple thing. Yeah. I got to tell you, Nina, Bettina Campiolini, she looks like she's young.
She looks like she's dumb.
No, young. She looked very young there.
Oh, I'm like, young.
That was
She looked really young. How old was she?
I don't even know. See, Bettina Camp. She's got two other.
15, 16, maybe?
Two other movies that she's done. It was 85. I don't even know when she was. Not much information on her here. Let me see if there's anything on the Wikipedia.
No,
there's nothing. We just don't got much of anything. You know what? I'm gonna Google her name. see if she comes up. She's an actress. I mean, biography. Let's see what they got for biography. She's the co-founder of American Transfer's alternative clothing store in Florence, Italy.
Really?
So that's interesting. They don't really have nothing else on her anywhere. She has a Facebook account.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if that's her, really her. Ooh.
What?
Maybe that's not really her. She did not. This whoever this woman here is butt ass ugly. So I don't know if that's her or not, but ooh. Anyway.
You're like, ooh.
That was ooh. So we're introduced to the
she saw the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down.
No, I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's her. I don't know if it was just somebody on this. I opened up that Facebook page. It says Bettina. Now it is in Italian, so chances are it is probably her. And if that's her, she's still an attractive woman. But she's standing with somebody else New Year's, and ooh. I just looked at the picture again and I got a shiver.
That bad?
Kind of nasty. But she's so attractive. I would say. There's no about information. She lives in Florence, Italy, so that's. Okay. About info. Here's my birthday. Of course, she doesn't list it. Yeah, nothing doesn't list anything about her birthday or anything like that. Oh, well. So this movie, I don't even know. Where in the hell were we at? Oh, the hoodlums.
Well, yeah.
They're parked, obviously. You know, they end up deciding to park outside the Metropole because they're scraping up all this cocaine off the seats. And they're like, You hear that? You hear something? Like, no, it's that. That's just, this is the theater. It's the movie playing. Blah, blah, blah. But, So the people inside that are banging on the wall, they eventually break through the wall. And when they break through the wall, they actually come upon a whole nother section of this building. Just huge section. So, and I asked you this question too, when we were watching it, if they're in there banging on the walls, but there's a whole nother section of this building on the other side of these walls that has stairs and goes to a cellar. How did they hear them banging on the walls outside in the alley?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Must have been banging them walls pretty damn hard, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. But they go wandering in this. Of course, they break through. As soon as you see them breaking through, I mean, there's like slime and black shit ooze dripping on the walls. Are you going in there?
No. I'm staying away from.
Your options are go in there or head back to where the demons are at, I suppose. I mean,
I guess you would have no choice but to go in there.
But before this happens, our badass pimp guy, Bobby Rhodes, who plays Tony, he gets killed because they're trying to cut the rope that guy was hanging on. And he comes back up. And gets Tony. He gets killed. One of the women turns into a demon that are up there on the balcony. They both attack Tony, and like they go over the edge. Then we have this pan away back scene, the pan back scene where you see the whole theater. Then you just see like Tony hanging down with these two demons just chewing on him.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. That was a pretty good shot. I like that shot.
Yeah.
Back to our people. They head into this newfound area of this
place.
Yeah.
Area.
Wandering around. They're just looking for a way out. Well, they get to the end of wherever they're at, and it's cemented in as well. There's no way out. So they end up running back up. And then we're brought back to our hoodlums outside that were cleaning up the cocaine. They run into some other police officers around the corner. So They turn back and start running back. And just as they're running back toward the car on the other side of this theater, a door opens up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, let's go in here. And they go in there to get away from the police. But as they go in, one of the demons gets out.
Yep.
And the police come around the corner chasing them. And they're like, oh, they disappeared. You know, they come over. Oh, who's this guy on the ground here? Hey, guy. Hey, fella. Come here. He's a demon. Chews him up. Tears him up.
Yeah.
We know what's going to happen, but we don't go into that in the movie here. We find out later on at the end what happened because of that. So now we have our original survivors and then plus this new group of hoodlums in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the new group, Nina, they get into this room where they had locked in Rebecca or Rosemary. They pull the Coke machine off the door, but she's not in there. She's gone already. So, and earlier in the movie, we see that she was trapped in that room by Tony and, you know, what was the other guy's name? Tony and George and Candy. They threw that soda machine on top of the door so she couldn't get out.
Yeah.
Soda machine's still there, but when they pull the soda machine off, the room's empty. And then, you know, the guys go off, I don't know, looking, doing whatever the fuck they're doing. And Nina stays behind looking in the mirror. She's like, oh my gosh, I look like shit.
Yeah.
You know, she's dirty fingernails and all this. She's just like trash, dude. It's just like. But then, of course, she gets killed.
Yeah.
And we left out, what was that? That one woman that she got scalped earlier on. The murder scenes in this thing are so graphic. It's just like.
Yeah. You
know, I know Rosemary grabs one lady by her hair and just like.
Scalps her.
Yeah, rips off a huge chunk of it, and it's just so graphic, and there's blood. And,
oh, I know. It's so gross.
Dude.
But it's so good at the same time.
Yeah. But that woman that got scalped is the one that comes back and kills Nina. Now, Nina's dead, and when they hear Nina screaming, so these guys run back, and they figure out what's going on. They don't make it very long. All these hoodlum guys die.
Yeah.
One point, you hear a noise. There's not very many people left. I think there's like four. You know, survivors are still up in the balcony, and they're barricaded in. And a bunch of the survivors say, no, we need to get out of here. So they start taking the barricade down. And as soon as they start taking the barricade down, all the demons rush in.
Yep.
And just like tear everybody up. So we have our four survivors, George, Ken, Cheryl, and Kathy. There's an exit on the other side of the balcony that they had barricaded in with chairs and all this shit.
Yeah.
They start crawling underneath it to try and get out. You know, it's like a big maze of chairs and stuff. Now,
yep.
Kathy falls out or passes out or something like that. And they pull her out. They ended up getting to some poor, I don't remember. Oh, we missed the one part too when. What's her name? Hannah. She's the girl that. Remember, have you seen my girlfriend, Hannah? Where's she at, Hannah? And we see that picture, yeah. That scene of Hannah. She's hiding down at the bottom of the theater.
Yeah. She's like crawling.
And then the one guy falls from the balcony, the demon falls that they had killed, and he just kind of throws up and.
Yeah, like, he pukes all over. It's disgusting. It's
honestly, it's like an Ash moment, you know, Evil Dead.
Yeah.
How he constantly gets blood and piss and throw up all over him. This is one of those scenes. You know, she's cute little nice girl just sitting there, and then she's getting a demon just throwing up all over her.
Yeah.
Then when her boyfriend finds her a few minutes later, and what do? They start kissing.
Yeah.
You nasty ass. I would have stopped, but no. You don't understand what was just all in my face and my mouth. You don't want none of this.
Did they turn into demons? I can't remember.
I think they did later on. I think everybody did later on. You know, we have our four survivors that they're at this one point. They're at, are they up in the projection booth or something? Then a helicopter breaks through the ceiling.
Yeah. So I think so.
They're able to get out. And that's pretty much it, you know. I mean, demons are coming. They end up getting out of the theater, but they realize, oh, shit. This helicopter crashed into the roof of this building because demons killed the pilot.
Yeah.
And, you know, they look around. There was just demons running around amok throughout Germany now. And
so great.
Kathy. Now, Paola Cazzo, she was a good looking girl on this.
Yeah.
Even when she turned into a demon at first. I mean, I was like, wow, she's still cute. You know, but yeah, she gets ugly real fast. But so we have George and Cheryl. They're the two only survivors that are left after this.
Yep.
Ken gets, what happened to Ken? He got bit or some shit like that. Scratched. I don't know. Kathy must have got him or something. I don't know. George and Cheryl make it off the building into the city. This family, this dad and his two kids pull up in a Jeep. Get in. And the one kid came about 10 years old. He's sitting there eating a piece of bread, you know, and he's holding a shotgun or a rifle or something. And his sister's got the handgun out, scanning, you know, to shoot. I'm like,
yep.
I guess the family that slays together stays together, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, there's some weapons on the floor back there. Get armed up. Like, all right, all right. And then, you know, all we do is we see the back of George and Cheryl.
Yeah.
And then Cheryl turns around. And she's all fucking deep. She's a big demon. She's a demon. And the kid, without hesitation, the kid just blows her away. And she tumbles out of the Jeep. And they're like, whoa. And that's the end of the movie, really. I mean, that is it.
Yeah.
Survival horror at its finest.
Not bad.
What'd you think of this movie overall?
I liked it. It was a bit graphic. The puking and all that blood and gore. And
spectacular, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I love this movie. I mean, I have ever since I saw it when I was, I don't know, 11 years old. And it's dated. I mean, you can tell when you watch it, you're like, ah, that's an 80s movie. But all the kills and all the special, they're all practical effects. There's no CGI. There's no computer graphics, you know, generated anything. And that's why I think, I mean, this movie came directly from, you know, that era where horror movies were at their finest.
Yeah.
See. Oops, hold on. What did I do? Are you there? Christine Blackowitz. Are you there? Are you there now?
Yeah.
You stop messing with stuff.
It's my mom calling.
Oh, she likes to call you. She knows that you're recording. She's like, I'm going to call right now.
Right.
Like I was saying, this movie was made in the 80s. 80s horror is some of the best horror, in my opinion, that's out there. The grip, the special effects, the...
Absolutely. I can definitely agree with that 80s horror, right?
Everything is awesome. And the graphic, even this is very graphic and it's very gory, but it's so well done, you know, with the practical effects. I think it's great. Even, you know, the scene where Rosemary's in a bathroom and her face is... blowing up.
Yeah.
You can definitely see that it's a prosthetic that they laid on her face, but it works because you're like, oh, it looks disgusting. Even though you can see it, it's still disgusting.
Yeah, it is really disgusting.
Well, I love the movie. I think it's a great movie. It's a movie that I watch it at least 3 times a year, probably. And I'll continue to watch it whenever the kids are old enough. I'm sure that they'll watch it as well. Let me see some continuity goofs here. After the demon falls on Hannah from the balcony, so what we were just talking about earlier, he pukes slime and shit all over her. But in the next scene, her clothes are clean. Yeah, I noticed that earlier, too. Now, when the helicopter crashes against the floor of the cinema, there are no dead pilots in it. But in the next shot, there's bodies It appear there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just production errors. That's really all that is.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. At the end scene during the motorcycle chase, Nina's demonic character is not where. Yeah, I saw that. That was one of the things. Nina was the one hoodlum girl that got attacked. You know, she had that whole cocaine in the nipple thing. And at the end of the movie, when George is running, or is it George or is one of the guys that he's driving around on the motorcycle and basically went ninja on all these guys, killing demons left and right. We see a shot of Nina coming after them, and she doesn't have any demon makeup on at all. I noticed that. A man with a mask, that mask at the end, who we end up learning that he was the bad guy. You know, I'm wondering if he was was that Nostradamus? Or was he just like some demon resurrection kind of guy?
I don't know. It'd be interesting to know.
Yeah. Now, one of the goofs here is he's supposed to be dead. He's impaled through his head, but you can see him blinking behind that's one of the continuity goofs. Wow. So, yeah, that's it. That's Demons from 1985, a movie that I love. Christine, will you keep watching this movie in the future?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I don't want to tell you you're wrong, so you better say yeah.
It's a good movie. I like it. I liked it. Yeah,
I like Demons. We got to do Demons 2. I watch it sometime. I know I've seen it, but I don't remember it. So it'd be cool to redo that and check that one out again.
Okay.
But that's it. Demons from 1985. Dario Argento and Lamberto Bava. With a soundtrack that's to die for. A spectacular fucking soundtrack. A good movie. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out. You will not be, especially if you like 80s horror, you will not be disappointed at all. This thing is spectacular. In my opinion, and that's all that really matters, because if you disagree with me, guess what? You're wrong. That's right, baby. And with that, everybody out there, sweet dreams, love, peace, and chicken grease. Later, Tater. And that's going to do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.